Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 11:15 on a Tuesday morning. That's the day we usually do our book picks, and we are lucky to have Matt Tannenbaum here, proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, and he joins us today with his book picks. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Ray. Nice to see you.
Happy holidays, my friend.
And to you. It's a little dreary out there. Was it sunny, a little cloudy? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's been a little dreary in here, too, as a matter of fact.
This is Studio A, right?
This is Studio A.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here in Studio A.
How are the holidays treating you down at the bookstore?
People are just having a great time.
Yeah.
People are a little slow in picking up the pace on coming in, but it's going to start to happen. Now, we have two events this week.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
A poetry reading. Oh, I didn't tell you about that. Poetry reading, Patty Crane on Thursday night at 5:30, a new book called The Bell I Wake To. Hmm. And Jeffrey Diamond, is Emmy Award-winning TV producer in New York City, has written the third of his books about an investigative reporter. Oh, you might like that one, except it's just more stress. And, Ray, you don't need...
Inside Baseball, Matt and I were talking about how the news is... It's stress. It's constant. Even talk about the news, and it's nice to break away. And that's one of the things I love about a good book and just going to the bookstore and walking around.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, people come in, and especially if maybe you come in and there's nobody there, you have the place to yourself. It's like you should have to pay double. Well, no. I'm just kidding.
Maybe you should have an entrance fee. Maybe that'll work out.
Let's start with a couple. I have a couple of great kids' books. A couple of years ago, I found Russell Hoban's reissue of his book, The Mouse and His Child. And I'm not going to talk about that now because I did that a couple of years ago. But this year, I found two other reprints of earlier books. Came out in 1966. What's the first one? Charlie the Tramp.
Yep, Charlie the Tramp.
Written by Russell Hoban and illustrated by his then-wife Lillian Hoban. And the second book is Harvey's Hideout.
Yes.
A book about, also Russell and Lillian, a book about sibling rivalry, big sisters, little brothers. Harvey is hammering in the backyard. He's a muskrat, and he's building a raft, and he's making a lot of noise. And his sister Mildred calls from the window, says, "Harvey, stop that racket." He said, "I can't. I'm making a raft." Well, she says, "I'm writing a poem. Go make your raft somewhere else." And mother comes in, intervenes. Dad comes home, and this and that. It's a great book for Russell and Lillian are the creators of the Francis books. Francis the Badger, Bread and Jam for Francis, Baby Sister for Francis.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I remember
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Those,
yeah,
those are Badgers. So this and Charlie the Tramp. Charlie is a young beaver who's growing up, and his grandfather comes to visit, and his grandfather says, "Well, Charlie, what are you going to be when you grow up?" As he's taking a quarter out of his vest pocket, all very anthropomorphic, and Charlie says, "A tramp." "A tramp," says grandfather, putting the quarter back in his pocket. Well, Charlie goes off to become a tramp, but eventually he does what beavers do. He lies down in a field and he hears something. He wonders what that sound is, and it's the trickling of a stream. And it just gets him going. It calls to him, exactly. And he puts a log in front of the stream so he can hear the stream better. And then another log. And the next thing you know, he's built a dam and he's created his own little...
He's integrated back into society.
He is. So these are just lovely, lovely books. I can't tell you... I can't even go any further. They're just my most favorite new books.
Now, you mentioned that these are reprints from the 60s. Are Russell and Lillian still with us?
No. Russell Hoban died about maybe 5, 10 yeah, years ago. He also wrote grown-up books. He wrote fantasy novels. One of my favorite was, what was it called? Linger a While. Mm. Published by a little publisher named Black Sparrow Press. You just love this book. Or was it Godin? Godin published it. And he has other children's books. But let's go on to
Did you ever see the movie Elf?
No.
Okay. At some point, you should watch the beginning. James Caan is sort of the misanthropic main character.
Oh, okay, good.
And he is the publisher of children's books. And and the themes that he has a group of people brainstorming themes about, right, you know, talking badgers or right. And it reminded me a little bit of this description, and I just recommend you watch just the beginning of it at least.
Speaking of a film though, Russell Hoban's book, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh, sure, that's very famous.
That's also Russell Hoban.
Ah, there you go.
So,
all right, well,
good,
that's good.
Stuff.
Good for the kids. What else you got?
So Hoban is one of my favorite authors. Another of my favorite authors, who was also one of Hoban's favorite authors, is John Crowley. John Crowley used to live in Lenox. We're still good buddies. We've known each other almost 40 years now. He has two new books out. One is called And Go Like This, a collection of short fiction. And the second one is called Reading Backwards. Reading Backwards, I just found out about 2 days ago. I don't even have a copy of it yet, but more copies are coming in today, I hope. And Go Like This is a collection of fiction. I've read some of these pieces before in magazines. My favorite, he says in the introduction of Go Like This, that there are two kinds of writers. One who you always recognize their style in whatever book they're writing. And then there are the other kind of writers, the chameleons, he says, and he's one of those, whose style changes with the narrative. So here you have some, the first title is called The Girl, the first short story is called The Girlhood of Shakespeare's Heroines, a historical story about a Shakespeare company in Indiana in the late 50s, which is where Crowley grew up.
Yeah.
There's another one called, my favorite is, well, Spring Book is another one, I'm reading, looking at it now, Spring Book is the one, it's a futuristic story set at the library at Yale University.
Oh, so he really does change it up.
Absolutely. And then, but my favorite one is, what's the book? It's called This Is Our Town. And this is, when I was young, I lived in a place called Timbertown. The narrator of this book, of this story, is an 8-year-old girl in a Catholic school in fourth grade. The book tells stories of then and now, of the flood that hurt so many houses in Timbertown. The book has stories of long ago, long before, it's a Catholic school, when miracles happened to children like us in other lands. But most of the stories are about our town. The stories are all true, and listen to this, and of course they happened to us, or we caused them to happen, or they wouldn't be in the book. But the book never told anything about us, nor all that we could do and did.
You're friends with Crowley, you said?
Crowley, yeah.
You know, next time you talk to him, ask him how the author, and I've asked this of other authors, how they could inhabit, a grown-up man, presumably, mm-hmm. can inhabit the mind and soul of an 8-year-old girl. How do you do that?
This is, as the actors say, this is the magic of theater.
Yeah.
They get into a place. You know, I've talked to so many writers who say, you know, if my children come and ask me for a pony while I'm writing, yeah, sure. Because I'm not there.
Right.
Yeah, they're in a trance.
So many artists say, it comes from another place.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Charles McCary, one of my favorite writers, used to say, when I would tell him I was struggling to write something, he said, Matt, ass in the chair, head in the air.
Nice.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
There's nothing more to say.
Just do it.
So that's Crowley, and Reading Backwards is the nonfiction. Again, I don't have a copy of it here, but he has pieces collected from when he was, I forget the title of the column in Harper's Magazine, from the corner or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and just ranging. He's a great stylist for whatever he'd like to say, and a lot of different subjects. So those two books are the Crowley. So I got some Hobins, I got some Crowleys. The next one, Ray, this is a special one for you.
Yeah.
This is called The City Game, Triumph, Scandal, and a Legendary Basketball Team by Matthew Goodman, published by, who publishes this book? Ballantine Books.
Well, it's not about the current Knicks then, right?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But the Knicks get mentioned.
Do they?
Because this is the story of the City College of New York, CCNY,
yeah.
and their championship season 1949-1950 when they won the NIT and the NCAA.
Wow.
They won both tournaments.
That's amazing.
In the quarterfinal or the semifinals of the NIT or of the NCAA, they're playing against Adolph Rupp's University of Kentucky. Kentucky was, well, most professional sports or most sports were in America were like white Anglo-Saxon WASPs.
Right.
Right. This is it. Right. Rupp would not let his team shake hands with the CCNY guys. And CCNY beat the stuffing out of them.
Fair enough.
Right. In 1949, 1950, they had, because CCNY had their starting five, two Jews and three blacks. Where'd they come? They came from the city of New York, from the streets of the city of New York, from New York City high schools, and they played their home field, their home court, was Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's a pretty good home court.
49th Street. The Knicks played down at the Armory.
That's where they should be playing now, as a matter of fact.
So, a year later, 1951, all five guys are arrested for a point shaving scandal.
Oh.
I don't know if they go to jail or they pay a fine. I'm not sure. I haven't read the whole book yet. But New York City basketball, New York City gamblers.
Well, that's a period piece.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And this has been written about before. But Goodman goes into who these guys were, what City College was. CCNY was known as, well, City College of New York, or it was you had your Trotskyists debating your socialists in the lunch table. And it was not like...
I'm guessing they weren't on the team.
They were not on the team.
No.
So that's the City Game, and it's a terrific book.
Cool.
I haven't finished the whole thing, but it has all these other characters. He has a Knicks. It has the DA from New York, Frank Hogan.
Yeah.
And all these names came back to me because I grew up right outside New York in the 50s. And all these, these guys. And Morgan, I don't think Morgenthau was there.
He
might have been a young
soon,
guy then.
Yeah.
And some of the reporters like Marvin Kalb.
Sure. Yeah.
Who was
CBS.
CBS. Okay. He wrote for the City College newspaper.
I'll be darned.
Right. So all these people who you find out, you hear about later in their lives.
The City Game, Triumph Scandal, and a Legendary Basketball Team by Matthew Goodman. That's a good one. We've got
That's
a couple
a
of minutes
one.
Left here.
Okay, the last one I have, the second from the last, is called The Girl with the Leica by Helena Janicek, winner of the Premier, how do we say it in Italian, the Strega Prize.
Ah.
The Strega. You know the Strega? Strega
no.
is an Italian liqueur.
Really? Why do you look surprised that I don't know what that is?
it's a digestif. I had a little glass of it last night. My daughter, Sophie, knows all about these digestifs. But I know about The Girl with the Leica because it's about Gerda Taro. Gerda Taro and her lover and her boyfriend and her collaborator, Andre Friedman, met in Paris in the 30s. He was Hungarian. She was a German Jew. They meet in Paris, and they go to Spain, and they become Robert Capa. Robert Capa, the famous photojournalist, was Andre Friedman and Gerda Taro. I learned about them when I went to an exhibit at the ICP years ago, an exhibit of the Mexican suitcase, their negatives from the war that turned up many, many years later in the Mexican ambassador's attic.
Right.
Gerda Taro was killed in the war in a battlefield accident.
Yeah.
Capa died, of course, in Indochina, photographing that war. This is a book that imagines their lives together and other people's lives together, other people's lives in Paris in the 30s. And I am so... Look at this picture of Gerda Taro.
Yeah. I love the cover shot.
Right.
Yeah, the wink. So,
and it's also translated by the woman who translated all the Elsa Ferrante books.
Well, I think we'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry we didn't get to your entire list, but we had so much fun. Matt Tannenbaum, happy holidays to you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ray.
The list is online at wamc.org/roundtable.